And the answer is Jesus. To everyone who's here today.
Hello.
To my New Hope family and to all my family and friends who's worshiping with us on the worldwide web, we say good morning.
Good morning.
I see you now, Pastor, so I need to get into the mic. But it's good to be here.
Yes.
And it's good to be able to be in God's house one more time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask right now that we all quiet our hearts. Let us pray. Father God, we come right now in the precious name of Jesus. We want to say thank you.
Thank you.
The Lord, you woke us up this morning and started us on our day. We worship you, Lord, with prayer, and we lifted you up in song. But Lord God, you've given me the task and the assignment to bring the word today. You know my shortcomings, you know my weaknesses, you know, Lord God, all my faults. For I am a sinner. But Lord God, you've asked me to do this. So I ask now with the aid and the abetting of the Holy Spirit that you would please get inside me and have your will and your way. But then, Lord God, even as you lift me up, I ask, and you have the power to do anything, that you work on all of us today as we give and receive the word. Lord God, let it get into our hearts and our minds that we're going to be changed. And Lord God, I just ask, and I just want to say this, that we love you and we thank you.
In
spite of what we're all going through, because we're all going through something, but we thank you for your many blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A close look in the mirror. You know, in the fairy tale, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the story tells of an evil queen who is obsessed about her physical beauty. Oh, this queen, she's physically beautiful on the outside. She looks like the total package. However, on the inside, she's evil to the core. So because she's physically beautiful and she likes how she looks, the queen would spend a lot of time looking into her mirror. This mirror, like any other mirror, it would reflect back the image that stood before it. But this is no ordinary mirror. In this fairy tale, the mirror has a special power. For this mirror not only reflects the truth, this mirror also literally speaks the truth. And so the queen would just not look in her mirror, but she would also talk to her mirror, and the mirror would talk back. Day in and day out, year after year, the queen would ask the mirror on the wall, who is the most beautiful and fairest of them all? Well, you know, everything was going pretty good until one day when the queen asked who was the most beautiful in the land, the mirror gave her an answer that she did not expect. The mirror tells the queen that it cannot lie, that there is someone else in the land who is more beautiful, and her name is Snow White. Well, let me tell you, the mirror should not have done that. Because that's when the fight started. The queen went berserk. She breaks the mirror, and because she can't handle the truth, the queen sets out to take care of her business her way, which ultimately leads to her destruction. Well, I didn't come this morning to rehash a fairy tale with you, but I did come to tell you that if you believe in the Lord, you too have a mirror. And that mirror is special. That mirror also speaks the truth. It's a mirror that cannot lie. And the mirror is the word of Almighty God. See, for God's mirror does more than just reflect a physical image. God's mirror has the ability to look at our soul. See, for the Bible teaches us that people like to look and judge the outward appearance, but it is the Lord who looks at the heart. Although we have God's mirror that should be correcting and improving on what's on the inside of their heart. Or to aid me in my theory this morning, we find ourselves in the book of James. James, who had the privilege of knowing Jesus as his brother, and now he knows Jesus as his Savior. James, who is now on a spiritual journey as teacher and leader in the Christian church. James, who wrote this letter to Christians in his time, and this is a letter for us as Christians today. For in this letter, James teaches Christians how to live ethically and with integrity. It is a letter that instructs all Christians how to live a life pleasing to God. Or in chapter 1 of this letter, James goes straight to it. He describes two groups. He's two groups that he say that they say that they are Christian. James describes the first group as hearers, people who hear the word, but they don't do the word. James says that they look at their faces in the mirror, see themselves, walk away, and then immediately forget what they look like. James says the second group he describes, they are completely opposite from the first group. James says that this group studies the word, the perfect law. They do it consistently, and they just don't listen and forget. But James says that this group puts the word into practice in their lives. And group number two, they're known as doers of the word. But see, here's where it gets interesting this morning. What group do you think most Christians believe that they belong to? Group number one or group number two? It sounds like let's make a deal, doesn't it? Well, see, most of us already know the answer. We can write the check and take it to the bank. Because most Christians would say without hesitation that they belong to group number two, that they are doers of the word, that they love the Lord, and they do whatever the Lord instructs them to do. Well, I'm here to say, like the little boy in the Clorox commercial, we have a situation. Because see, it appears to me, I don't know, I can't really say, but James had to tell the Christians of his time about the two groups, and it seems to me today, if we are all Christians, if we are all doers of the word, then why is there so much turmoil in this country?
Right?
Because in this case, see, See, those are people, these are some Christians who really don't want to look closely at themselves.
Yeah.
When we don't want to look close, you know, we know what we do? We call it a quick look, a glance over. We see what we don't see.
Come on.
But whatever you want to call it, it's denial.
Yeah.
Because see, here it is. If you ask some Christians what they see wrong in the next person, they can shoot you out and answer before you can say Shazam.
Come on.
But if you ask the same Christians what they see wrong in themselves, and you can expect the Holy Ghost. Some people say crickets. Other people say silence. And the reason for that is, for the truth of the matter is, we can't see, or we don't want to see ourselves as we really are. See, we know we got the good, but there's the bad and also the ugly. See, but James says when we act that way, he tells us that it's misleading and it's deceptive. And let me tell you, that kind of denial is dangerous in the life of a Christian. Because see, the word of God clearly tells us that if any of us say that we are without sin, without any imperfections, then we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Or, but for whatever the reason, the denial, be it outright arrogance, because yes, there are some Christians who think that they got it all together. Or perhaps, you know, it's like I said, we really don't want to see the ugly truth about ourselves. But you know what? The truth is not always pretty. But if we're going to be doers of God's word, we must be able to see our truth. And then we got to own up to it. But let's be honest with one another this morning, because I know we can. Mm-hmm. We can always tell when a Christian is in denial because of some of the things they say. Now, I'm going to give you some of my favorites. These are the ones that I use, and maybe you do too. See, we say things like, I know I'm not perfect. And then we say things like, the Lord knows my heart. But see, this is what we're really saying when we say things like that. See, when we say that we are not perfect, we know that we're acknowledging that we're sinners. But see, what we're really saying is, I'm really not as bad as the other person. I'm really not that bad. And when we say the Lord knows our hearts, you know, we always, when we imply that, we're not, we, you know, we, when we say that, it's not like we talk like our hearts are always good. Right? But the truth of the matter is, our hearts are not always right. The word of God says that a heart of a person can be deceitful and wicked. And see, that's why when we look in God's mirror, we need to seek God just like David did in the Bible. See, David was a man who loved God, but he didn't always do the right thing. But see, we need to be like David and ask God to search our hearts and to point out to us anything that offends God.
That's right.
But then once we do that, and God shows us, we got to be willing to do something about it.
That's right.
See, when God shows us our imperfections, and we do nothing, then we really are, we're just like what James described. We're a person, people who look in the mirror, and then immediately they forget what they see. When we do nothing about our imperfections, you know what that means? It means that we're not growing.
Right.
We're not changing.
That's right.
We fail to get the healing and the deliverance that God can bring into our lives. Oh, but as we look in God's mirror today, I don't know, somebody might get mad. You know, you try, when you get up and preach, you try to preach with a broad brush because you don't want people to say, you know, they was talking about me. But see, but for those who might not know this, here at New Hope, we say in our beliefs that the word of God is personal. And that means that it's going to step on our toes. It means that it's going to hurt sometimes. That's what it means. And so I got this to say what the Lord has told me. You know, because there are some Christians who are kinder to their pets than they are to people. See, some Christians are not doers of the word, because they have become spiritually blinded, not only in their relationship with God, but they're blinded when it comes with their relationship with other people.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
See, some people, what they say, you're spiritually blind and tone deaf. Because see, they don't understand that, you know, they don't see how they treat other people in their lives.
Amen.
So let me just say this. In 8 minutes and 46 seconds of seeing a man cry out as he lay dying, as another man put all of his weight on the back of his neck until he draws his last breath. And if you weren't moved by that, and you say that you are a Christian, well, you need to take a real good look in God's mirror. But if you are habitual grudge holder, always easily offended, can't ever seem to forgive people who have wronged you, and you say you follow Jesus, you need to spend some time in God's mirror. If you are always critical, can't seem to say anything nice to anyone or about anyone, no one can ever do anything right for you, nothing ever gives you happiness, and you say that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you, you need to look in God's mirror. Because see, what it is that there are some Christians who believe that as long as they say they love God, that's all that's required of them. But see, if we're going to be doers of God's word, it begins with Christians understanding that when we say that we love God, we're expected to love others.
Come on now.
See, that means as a doer of God's word, we got to treat each other right in all of our relationships. See, because God's word makes it clear. If we don't love the people we can't see, how can we love God who we cannot see? And see, that's why many of us are failing to be doers of God's word, because we ain't treating other people right.
All right.
Well, I said earlier that God's mirror speaks truth. But how can we be doers of God's word if we don't know what the word says in the first place? See, there are some Christians who are illiterate when it comes to the word of God. See, we laugh at Medea when she said Jesus was on Noah's ark when he got out and walked on the water. We think that's funny. It is funny because it's entertainment. But the sad truth is, and I kid you not, that some Christians, when they were surveyed, they thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were two people who got married in the Bible. True story. Now, when we fail to read and study the word, we are Christians who are weak with no power. But if we would just pick up the word on a consistent basis, if we would read the word, let the word dwell and sink into our hearts, then we would know that we have the power and everything we need to make it in this thing called life. But not only must we read the word, James says, you know, what keeps a Christian from being a doer of the word is that they hear, but they really don't listen. See, for when we hear something, our ears perform what they say is a physical response to the sounds being made around us. Y'all hear it right now. That's me thumping. You hear that sound? But see, when we hear the word of God, we should be focused spiritually. We should be listening spiritually. And you know what? And that means that we should be listening with teachable minds and receptive hearts.
Yes.
See, people during the time of James, they couldn't read. This letter was read out loud for all to hear and for all to listen. And while many of us today can read the word but don't, at least we can say, you know, we come to church on Sunday, right? Or we come to church Sunday after Sunday. Preachers and teachers pouring out their hearts. But are we really listening? Some Christians may come into church 20, 30, 40, 50 years. If you've been coming to church, I'm giving you an idea. If you've been coming to church for 20 years, give or take, that's over 1,000 messages. But is anybody paying attention? You say, well, wait a minute, Rita, that's not fair. You going back 20 years? How are we supposed to remember that? But what about this year? What about the messages that we have received here at New Hope in 2020? Oh, here's a sampling of just a few. There was a message that informed us that we had a warning from Jesus. There was another message that told us to know the story and tell the story. There was another message that asked us, can you pass the test? And just last week, there was a powerful message that said prayers answered, but with conditions. But how many of us was paying attention? How many sermons do we need to hear and to listen to before there is one that connects to our hearts and our minds that will move in us to change for the better? How many messages do we need to hear and to listen to that will motivate us to be doers of God's word, that will motivate us to be the men and women of God that we have all been called to be? Quiet. That's the message. But I'm almost through. I told you that God's mirror cannot lie. So if we're going to be doers of God's word, and not just healers. See, we got to first recognize that there is a blueprint that many Christians follow, and it's flawed. This flawed blueprint has left the church stagnant, powerless, and under attack. See, the blueprint, pretty simple, but it's laid out like this. And this is what some Christians follow. If I've been baptized, if I come to church, if I attend Bible study, if I wear a cross, if I head a ministry, if I sing in the choir or usher at the door, if I have the title of pastor, deacon, or trustee, then I am a doer. But see, that's why the blueprint is flawed. Because see, this blueprint is for Sunday morning Christians only. Don't misunderstand me. When we come here, God, I'm telling you, God deserves all of our praise and all of our worship. But for God, it's worthy. But see, the Sunday morning Christian is someone who comes to church religiously, but they live completely different lives Monday through Saturday. And so as a result, Sunday mornings are nothing but a show. All these Sunday morning Christians are people who act like Christians on Sunday. But the rest of the week, they cussing people out like Samuel L. Jackson in a Quentin Tarantino movie. But then come Sunday morning, they look like a saint. They just putting on a show. People who act like Christians on Sunday, but oh, when the weekend comes, they party hard. But come Sunday morning, they do their best to look holy. But see, that's just putting on a show. See, if there are people who act like Christians on Sunday, but they can't treat their spouse right, won't treat their sister and brother with love, but come Sunday morning, they suit it up, cast it, shot. But they just putting on a show. The truth is, Sunday morning Christians are not doers of the word, and they really are not Christians. Jesus called them out in his day. Jesus said, they're straight up hypocrites. He said, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be what they are not. And the truth of the matter is, Sunday morning Christians are actors and pretenders only. Oh, Sunday morning Christians has given the church and Jesus a bad name. See, that's why so many people have turned away from the church and don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, because the very people who say that they love the Lord and love everybody are just pretending, and they are faking the phone. Oh, we're going to be the real deal. If we're going to be doers of God's word, you know what? We must first be obedient to the word. And that's a word we don't use a lot in the church anymore. But we've got to be obedient, and we have to start living the word every day of our lives. And that only happens when we start putting it into practice.
Amen.
Or it means that we should be striving every day to perfect ourselves in becoming a better Christian. Every day, we should be striving to live a life pleasing to God. And see, when we become practicing Christians, people will come to know Jesus by how we live. You see, I told you, people are turning away from Christianity. For who would be attracted to a Christian if people never see Jesus in us? Why would anybody seek out Jesus if they never encounter a follower who is putting God's word into practice into their lives? But let me make this analogy for you to prove my point. If you were in trouble and you were facing the death penalty, would you hire an attorney that has never practiced law? If you were sick and you needed a life-saving procedure, would you seek out a doctor who never performed the operation? And see, yet today, we know the world is in turmoil. It's all upside down. We've got people who are hurting, who are spiritually lost. They're at the risk of losing their souls. But why would they seek us out if we are not putting our faith in the Christ? I'm glad this morning, though, that God has provided us with a blueprint that we can follow.
Yeah.
A blueprint as we strive to be better Christians. A blueprint, though, that is perfect and without flaws. Oh, this blueprint that shows us what perfect obedience looks like, and I don't need to tell you because I know you know, the blueprint is Jesus. See, Jesus was obedient when he stepped down from glory.
Yeah.
Jesus was obedient when he allowed himself to be sacrificed on an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
Jesus was obedient when God got him up with all power in his hands. And if you and I want to be doers of God's word this morning, it begins and ends with us being obedient.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, as I'm about to take my seat, being obedient to God won't necessarily make you popular. Being obedient to God may not make you rich. Being obedient to God might cause you to lose some friends. Being obedient to God will sometimes put you in some uncomfortable places. Or being obedient to God will sometimes have people say ugly things about you. Being obedient to God will have some people treat you like an outcast, and if you're not careful, they'll put you out. But James says that when we are obedient to God and we're living right, that our lives will be blessed in whatever we do. And you know something? I know James was right, because I'm going to tell you, Bernard, I know I troubled you about another blessing, and I don't sung another blessing again all week long. Every time Pastor heard me, I would say, as a Scotty, and look around, turn around, I can see all the many blessings that God had already done for me. Can you see it this morning? Or as we start to count our blessings, but I hope you haven't forgotten about us at New Hope. Oh, because see, we know what obedience looks like. See, because it took some obedient people to allow God to work on their hearts. And look what happened at the blessing of obedience. 10 years, we're coming up on 10 years as a church family. Another blessing. Oh, I'm so glad this morning that we serve a God who is still in the blessing business. Well, I'm on my way to my seat, but I'm going to ask that the Lord continue to bless you real good. But this is what I'm going to ask you, to keep looking into God's mirror. And my prayer is that now that we know better, we're going to do better. And you know what? When we do better, we can expect that more blessings are coming our way. Amen.